Okay, Tavon, welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. We are now on our final podcast of the 11th parak of Masechet Yevamot on Daf Kuf Amud Aleph of Yevamot. At the very bottom of the Amud, the beginning of a Mishnah, which is really two different Mishnayot. Mishalo Shata Achar Ba'ala. The issue of this Mishnah and the following Mishnah, which dovetails with the previous Mishnah about a child who is a Safek, is that here we're talking about the issue of havchana or hamtana, which is the obligation that we've already encountered several times if a woman is married and then that marriage, for whatever reason, was terminated, either because of divorce or death. She must wait 3 months before having relations marrying another man. And the issue is just so that we know who the father of the child is. So now, mishelo shatachar ba'ala shlosha chodashim. If a woman who did not wait after her husband for 3 months, we'll have to see what Ba'ala means here, v'niseit, and then she married another man, v'yaldat. Right? So this is the classic doubt that we have. We don't know if this child is a ben sheva of the second husband, born relatively prematurely, or a full-term baby of the first husband. So now, hayula bani min harishon uvani min hasheni. Now we're going to get to the issue of yibum. Let's say that she had sons who were affirmatively sons of from the first husband and of the second husband, and now we got this child who's unclear. Cholsim v'lo miyamin. If this child marries and then dies childless, they all of them give him chalitza, but they do not do yibum. V'chein hu lahem choletz v'lo miyabem. And the same thing in the opposite direction. He gives them chalitza, but not Yibum, and the reason is because they are clearly Achim Min Ha'em, so Yibum is never an option here, unless they were also Achim Min Ha'av, and since we don't know if that's the case, we have to enforce Chalitza only. Now, Hayulo Achim Min HaRishon V'Achim Min HaShini Shalom Eota Ha'em. Let's say that man number one had one son, and then his wife died, and then he married this woman, and he is out of the picture for whatever reason, died, divorced, whatever, and then she very quickly married another man who also had children from another marriage, and then she gave birth, which means that he certainly has no maternal brothers. He may have paternal brothers. Now, that throws a new wrinkle into things, because that means that if this woman is not his sister-in-law, she's also mutter to him once she's released from the issue of Yibum, because she's now nothing. She's not achot eshet achiv minaim or minaav. Good. So now, hu choletzu miyabim. He can do either. He can give chalitza to the woman, because remember, I mentioned that there's only one other brother, which means that if he's the brother, then he's doing Yibum. And if he's not the brother, then there are no other brothers, so she's released and he can marry her. Vehem echad choletz v'chad miyabim. If it's the opposite thing, where there's him, he has these two guys, one of which is his paternal brother, neither is a maternal brother, so one of them does chalitza, and the other then can do yibum. Because either the chalitza is a real chalitza, and now she's released, and now the fellow is marrying somebody who's not related at all to him, or the first thing was not a real chalitza, because he's not really the brother, and therefore this is the real yibum, and that's fine. Good. That's Mishnah Vav. Mishnah Zayin, the last Mishnah in the Perek. Haya Echad Yisrael ve'Echad Kohen. Let's say that now in our case, the one of the possible fathers was Yisrael and the other one was a Kohen. And now we're going to see a similar list, which is why I ran through it very quickly on the page, and I'll do the same here on the podcast, of the status of somebody who's a Sofik Yisrael, Sofik Kohen. No, say isha ruya l'koin. So he has to marry somebody who's not a grusha. Ve'ein matam elameitim. He can't go to funerals. Ve'im nitma eino sofek at harbaim. But if he does go, there's no makot. Eino ochel b'truma. He's not allowed to eat truma. V'machal l'mashal in kerem l'chomesh. Same ruling. If he does eat truma, there's no payments. Ve'eino cholik al agorin. He does not get a chelik of truma. U'mocher truma v'dom mishalo. But his own truma from his own produce, he can sell. And the money is his to keep. Eino cholik b'kotche mikdash. He does not participate in the division of kodshim, ve'in notnim lo et hakodshim, and other people do not give him a korban to offer up, ve'in motzin et shalom yado. But if he comes with a korban to the Beit HaMikdash and wants to offer it up, wants to offer it to be offered up, but he gets to keep, let's say, the orot or other parts of it which go to the Kohanim, you can't take that away from him, because again, a Motzah Chavrol Avaraya. Upatman Azorah Machayim Akiva. Again, he is exempt from those Matnot Kahuna from the Korban. Uvchoro Yehi Roe An Shisayv. If he has an animal that has a Bechor, Bechor Behema Tahora, you have to let it graze until it develops a mum and then redeem it. And again, as we said before, this refers to his a mincha. If he brings a mincha, you offer up the komets like a minchat Yisrael, but you can't eat the rest of it like a minchat kohen, and it's sprinkled on the deshen, as we concluded in the last podcast, in the last shiur. Now, hayushneim kohanim. This is the new wrinkle. Let's say that both fathers, either one is the possible father, one of them is definitely the father, were both kohanim. Hu onen aleihem vehem onenim alav. Then they mourn for him, and he mourns for them, which is going to throw a very important wrinkle into the whole scenario. But what it means right away is that the first husband didn't die, because he wouldn't be around to be onen for this kid. Hu einu matame lahem, ve'em einu matamim lo. But he cannot be matame for them, because to be an onen, so there's no loss. But he cannot be matame for them, and they cannot be matame for him. And now, hu einu yoresh shotan v'alhem yoshinoto. He cannot inherit from them, because the other brothers can always say, or the other heirs can always say, prove that you are. But they are yoresh from him, and we will assume that they split. Upatur amakatova kilato shel zeh v'shel zeh. And remember, the halacha is that if a son strikes or curses his father, and draws blood, or curses his father, he's chayev mita. The son is not chayev for striking or cursing either one of these. Oleb mishmaros shel zeh v'shel zeh v'eino cholek. If he does have to go up to Yerushalayim and do the avoda during the week that this one's mishmar is working and that one is working, but he does not get to participate in eating the korbanot, does not get a division portion. Mayushnehem mishmar chad. If both of them were in the same mishmar, then notel chelek achad. Then he gets one portion. Obviously, he's one person. He gets one portion. So to be manav shach from either father. Good. So now the Gemara first addresses Mishnah Vav, which points out, Dafka Michlatz Vahada Yevumi, this is something we've seen several times, that in the case of the other brothers, who are possibly Achim Min Av, but certainly not Min Aim, we said the first one disgavs Chalitza, and then the other one does Yibum, but it has to be in that order. Hava Yevumi Bereshalo, you can't do Yibum first. Why? The Kapaga B'Yivam El Shuk, because of the possibility that the first one was not a Chalitza, and now this one, because if he does Yibum first, possibly you're not really the brother, and then this girl hasn't yet been released, and you are already having beer with her. Amar Shmuel. Now Shmuel makes a statement, and this statement is going to take us all the way to the bottom of the Amud. His statement is going to be challenged, and finally we will find a solution for it. Asara Kohanim Amdim Uperesh Acharim Vav. There's 10 Kohanim standing around. One of them leaves the group and goes and has beer with a girl. We don't know which one it was. Havlad Shtuki. The child is considered a Shtuki, a silenced child. Now, my shtuki, what does shtuki mean? Certainly the kid's kosher, because any of the possible fathers are all kosher. Elam ish mashtikin otum nechse aviv. What do you want to tell me? That shtuki means that we silence him from making any claim on the inheritance of his father? Pshita, that's obvious. We don't know who the father is. How could he claim, that's my father and I get the inheritance? Elash mashtikin shatkin otum din kuna. What it means is we silence him from din kuna, meaning we don't allow him to act as a kohen, to do avoda. Now, my time, what's the reason? I'm a kra. In the pasuk about Pinchas ben Elazar, it says, Vaita lo ula zaro acharav, brit kunat olam. Meaning, Vaina zaro miuchas acharav. In order for somebody to be a kohen, it has to be somebody who is miuchas to his father. In other words, even though we know he's a kohen because all the potential fathers were kohanim, we don't know who it is, he has to be miuchas acharav. Now, Matkif to Rav Papa, so Papa says, take a look at that pasuk, and look at pasuk number 2 on the page. Lemiata gabi Avram dechtiv lihiot lachal Elohim luzaracha charecha. That Hashem says, I'm going to make you a breed with you, to be your God, and to your children after you. Hata maika mazil erachmana. So there, what is he warning him about? Mela with Pinchas, the additional phrase, luzaracha rav, was to tell me that only to be a Kohen, you have to be somebody's miuchas. But what is the meaning here? So the answer is Hachi Kamarle. This is we interpret it a little bit differently. Lotinsov, Omeriko Chavim Shivchad, make sure not to marry a non-Jewish woman or somebody who's a Shivcha. Why do Lolezel Zarach Batra? That your child should not follow her. In other words, make sure that you marry within so that your child who's going to follow your wife or the one that you married and his mother will be somebody who is Ne'eman and who is loyal to our beliefs.
Good.
So now, Meitavei, we have a challenge from the Braita that was quoted in the fourth parak. Talks about a case where a Kohen dies childless, we think, and his wife, as Yivama, marries her brother-in-law, the Kohen, has Yibum, within 3 months. And then she gives birth, and we don't know if it's a Ben Shiva L'Rishon, Ben Tisha L'Rishon, Ben Shiva L'Achron. And we said that Rishon Ra'ui Liot Kohen Gadol, that this child could still be a Kohen Gadol. In other words, even though we don't know who his father is, nonetheless, we say that he could be a Kohen Gadol, because we know that his father's a Kohen, and everything was kosher, nothing was done wrong here. So you see that Shmuel's ruling seems to be a little bit difficult, because it seems here that even though we don't know who his father is, he is still a fine Kohen, could even be Kohen Gadol. We have the notion that his seed should be distinguished, and we should know exactly who the father is. The answer is Zaro Miyuchas Acharav Drabanan. That notion is Drabanan. Kras Machtav Alma, the association with the Pasuk in Bamidbar about Pinchas is an Asmachta, but really it's a concern Drabanan. The Chigaz Drabanan, when did they make this rule? Biznut. They only made this rule Biznut, meaning in a case where a girl had consensual sex or not with one of a number of Kohanim, we don't know which it is. Then we say that Zara Miyuchas Acharav we're going to apply. But not in the case of Nisuin, which is the girl here was married, and then her husband died, and then she had Yibum too quickly with another, but it was all on the up and up, she just didn't wait the proper amount of time. So therefore, Lo Gazu Rabbonin. So, Viznut Mi Gazu Rabbonin, but since when did they make such a Gzeira in a case of Znut? And now we're going to try to prove that our Mishnah is a case of Znut, and nonetheless, we said that the fellow goes up and does the Avodah, during each of the mishmarot of his, the mishmar of each of his possible fathers. All right, so our first Mishnah Vav. Mayachar ba'ala. What does it mean she didn't wait achar ba'ala? Ilei machar mitat ba'ala. You mean that she didn't wait after the death of her husband? Well, our case cannot be talking about a dead husband, because ema seifa, look at Mishnah Zayin. Hu onen aleihem vehem onenim alav. Remember, if the both of the possible fathers are Kohanim, then he mourns for them, and they mourn for him. So now, I understand how he could mourn for both of them. So we're talking about that the second one, after he was born, the second one dies. And he could still mourn for the first one if, let's say, the body was reinterred. Halacha that we became very familiar with in the summer of 2005 is when bones are reinterred, there's a one day of avelut. So good, that I understand. How could you have they, meaning both the first and second father, be onen for him? After all, the first guy, according to you, died, which means that the first guy didn't die in our Mishnayot. So it must be that the first guy divorced her. Oh, good. So he was married, divorced her. She didn't wait 3 months, married the second guy, etc. But wait a second. If she's a divorcee, and we're talking about a case where they're both Kohanim, Umay achar ba'ala, achar get ba'ala. So achar ba'ala means achar get ba'ala, but keep in mind what I just asked. But ema seifa, look at the end of the Mishnah. Hu ein matame lahem ve'em eina matamin lo. The son does not matame, is not matame for either father, and neither father is matame to him if he dies. I understand why they're not matame to him l'chumra, because that might not be my son. There's no heter to be matame. Because each one will say, maybe it's not my son. But why isn't he matame for them? I understand why he's not matame to the second guy. But he should be matame to the first guy in either case. Because remember, what we're positing now is, because we want to say our case is talking about a case of nisuin, but it can't be that the first guy died because he's still around and we're discussing whether he should mourn for this kid. So therefore, it must be the first guy divorced her. If the first guy divorced her, we're talking about both Kohanim. When she married the second guy, that means that this child is either a Ben Shiva, Ben Tisha L'Rishon, in which case that's his father, or he's a Ben Shiva L'Achron, but he's a Halal because his mother is a Grusha, married a Kohen. He should be metame to the first guy. Either way you slice it. If he's really the son, then it's right that he should go to the funeral. The Bar Batra, if he's really the son of the second one, should go to the funeral anyways, the Halal, because now he's a Halal because his mother is a Grusha, according to what you posited. Elalav is Nut. It must be that the relationship that we're talking about in Mishnah Vav and Mishnah Zayin is where the first relationship was one of premarital, non-marital sex, and then she didn't wait 3 months before she married somebody. And that's the question, is who the father is. And so you see, and Umay Acharbala, so why does the Lashon say Acharbala? Acharboala. All right, so Acharbala doesn't mean after her husband, but rather after the one who had relations with her. Uktani say, follow me, Shpar Shalzeh V'Shalzeh. And you see at the end that we said that if both of the guys are Kohanim, which according to the way we're positing now, it means that the first guy who she had an affair with, not an affair, she had relations with without being married to him, was a Kohen. She waited a month or so and then married a Kohen. Then he goes up in Mishmar Shel Zev and Mishmar Shel Zeh, even though we don't know who he is. And it's a case of Znut. And we said that Miuchas Acharav we don't apply because he does the Avoda. So you've did a Shmuel. So we've disproven Shmuel. We've rejected Shmuel. So we're going to try to defend Shmuel. Amar Rav Shmaya ben Ma'anit. Rav Shmaya says, no, the case could be ben Ma'anit, meaning that the girl was 11 years old, married off by her mother. All right, the case of Kiddushin Miyun. And she walked out on the first husband, who was a Kohen, and a month later she married the second guy. And that's why it's okay for the Kohen to have married her, and yet this is all a case of Nisuin, so we wouldn't apply Zara Miuchas Acharav. Ma'anit can make a yalda, but wait a second. Ma'anit can't give birth, which means there's no way that this child could be associated with the first husband. Atan Rabibi Kameder of Nachman, famous sugya that we had earlier in the Masechet, Shalosh Nashim is Samshot Mishnashot B'moch. There's three women, according to our mayor, who may use birth control. Right? Moch. Ktana, somebody who's younger than age, Me'uberet U'minika. Right? Me'uberet, somebody who's pregnant, Minika. And what's the reason for all of these? Minika is somebody who's nursing. Ktana Shemet Yitaber V'tamut. Perhaps the mind of the young girl will become pregnant and that'll kill her. Me'uberet Shemet Haseh U'bara Sandal. A woman who is already pregnant, that may affect her pregnancy. Menika shematigmot benaviyamut, and a woman who is nursing, maybe she'll become pregnant, and then she will stop nursing and he'll die. Good. Now ve'ezu iktana, this is the part we care about. What's a iktana? Mibat achad esh shana v'yamechad, bat shemeshay shana v'yamechad, from 11 till 12. Pachod mikan oyatam me'alkein meshameshet kudar kava holechet v'ameir. Remeir says that anything younger than that, or older than that, she can have relations. Younger than that, because there's no way she's going to become pregnant. Afterwards, she's healthy enough to carry a pregnancy. Chachamim say, all these people do not use birth control. And Kodesh Baruch Hu protect them. Hashem protects fools. In other words, they're doing a foolish thing, taking that risk. Hashem will protect them. Now, what that means, though, is that Mikidushe Miun, it's not possible for her to become pregnant because that is before that particular age. So there's no way that this could be the child of the first husband. So in fact, it's not likely that she's going to become pregnant if within a month after walking out she comes to this next guy also. So the answer is Mishkacha la Mikidushe Tot. No, you know what? The case could be that she married a guy, married a Kohen. And she married the Kohen on condition that, within 30 days, X would happen. And it didn't happen. Now, she was living with him and sleeping with him and everything else. But after 30 days, the condition, whatever it was, he would buy her a house, whatever the condition was, didn't happen. Now, retroactively, the Kiddushin are canceled, and she's not considered a Grusha. It's Hafka'at Kiddushin. She may now marry another Kohen, and there's no problem there. Chrav Yura Mar Shmuel, Damar Yura Mar Shmuel. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, and luckily it's Shmuel that's very good, who quotes the Pasuk number 4 on the page, about the Sota, V'hilonit Pasa, that says if there's testimony that a woman had relations with another man besides her husband, and she was not forced, Asura, so then she's not allowed to be with her husband. Hanit Pasa Muteret, so if there's testimony that she was forced, it was rape, then she's Muteret. V'yesh Lecha Acheret, Sh'av B'shalonit Pasa Muteret, there's somebody else, by the way, that flips in both directions. There is another kind of woman who, even if she is forced, is still asur, and that's the Eshet Kohen. Now, it's the opposite. There's another kind of woman that, even though she's not forced, she's still mutter to her husband. What's that? Zusha Kiddushah Kiddushay Ta'ut. There's a woman who had Kiddushay Ta'ut, meaning that there was Kiddushim Al Tanai, or there was a Mekach Ta'ut, or for some reason the Kiddushin are now uprooted. So now you could have a woman who was married to a man long enough, it doesn't have to be any time period, but she was married to a man for at least a day, and the kedushin were al tanai, or they were kedushin were some sort of condition, or the default situation was not fulfilled, and so the kedushin were mufka. She can now go to a kohen, but it's still nisuin. And now Shmuel comes out fine because we're talking about a case where of nisuin, and therefore zara miyuchas acharav, Shmuel says, does not apply here. It only applies to a case of znut, and our mission is not a case of znut, and that's why this kid who doesn't know which kohen father is his, which kohen man is his father, still can go up and do the avodah. Good. Even if you have a woman who's got her own kid who she's carrying, she lived with a man for a number of years and had a kid with him, but the whole thing was kiddushei ta'ut, she could still walk out on him, no need for divorce, and she could marry Kohen, etc. So that does resuscitate Shmuel's halacha. Good. Now, Hayushneim Kohanim, the end of end of Mishnah Zion said if both fathers were Kohanim, then that's how the halacha plays out. And then in the end we said that, and it has nothing to do with being Kohanim, that if the son hit either father, or cursed either father, he wouldn't be chayiv. Tan Rabbanan, he kazev chazavi kazev, kilel zev chazavi kilel zev. Let's say you had both guys standing there, and he hit them both and drew blood, or cursed both of them. Kilel shnem vatachat, or he cursed both of them in one fell swoop. Hikashnem vatachat, or he hit them somehow with one smash. Chayav. Tanakama says he's chayav, because imanav shach, he's hit and cursed his father. You don't remember, vatachat chayav. Yehuda says only if it's really in one smash. V'zachar zeh patur, like in one curse, he curses both of them. But zachar zeh patur, but if it's one and then the other, it's patur. Ay, v'atan Rehuda omer patur v'atachat. Rabbi Yehuda even said, v'atachat they're patur. V'trei tanoi, libir Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is there's two versions of Rabbi Yehuda, and what's the reason? My tamid aman de patur, why did the Tana think? So Rabbi Yehuda said, even v'atachat patur, even if you say, Hashem should strike you and you down and curse both of them. Rechanina nema bracha lamata nema bracha lamala. Just like there's an issur of cursing Hashem, Lamala, there's also an issue of cursing your father. Lamala shein bashutfu, just like cursing Hashem. It's Hashem singular, Hashem. Aflamata shein bashutfu, so it has to be your singular, unique, known father. And therefore, if you curse, and you say there's two people, one of them is a father, and I don't know which one, so I'm going to curse them both, that's already not parallel to cursing Hashem. V'itka shakala klala, and the pasuk that says that if a man curses his father, will die, is juxtaposed to if a man strikes his father, he'll die. And therefore, the same thing applies that it has to be uniquely and solely him. And therefore, one Tana holds that Rabbi Yehuda held that in any circumstance, there's no way to be chayiv for hitting this man who you're not sure he's his father. It could be this one, it could be that one. According to the other one, only if it's in one action, you're chayiv. And Tana Kama says, even if it's in multiple actions, as long as it's within one context, you're chayav. Good. V'olav mishmaro. We said that you go up to Yerushalayim, but don't eat the kodshim. V'chimachar deino cholek lamoleh. But if he's not going to participate in eating the kodshim, why is he going to do the avoda? Lamoleh. What kind of question is that? Rabbeinu din avod mitzvah. We want him to do the mitzvah of the avoda. Ela Allah loktani ela oleh bal korcho. The question is not why does he want to go up, but the question is why does it seem that he's forced to go up? Because it doesn't say he went up. He does not participate. But rather, he does go up, which means he forced him. Why? Because the family is shamed if he doesn't go up, because it makes him look like he's a halal, and the family produced an illegitimate kid. In reality, they didn't. The kid's perfectly legitimate, and therefore he should go up and do the avodah. Good. Last clause in the parak, we said if the two possible fathers were in the same mishmar, then he goes up and he does divide. Think about it. In the case of two mishmarot, he can't eat. Why? To azal hamishmar madchulei, he'll come to one mishmar and they'll say, "No, you belong to the other one." To azal hamishmar madchulei, he'll come to the other mishmar and they'll say, "Yeah, belong to the other one." Mishmar achad nami. Even if a mishmar, remember, a mishmar works for a week and it's divided up into seven batei av. Nami azal hai beit av madchulei, he'll come to one beit av and they'll say, "No, you belong to the Tuesday beit av." And on Tuesday he'll come and they'll say, "Now you should have eaten on Sunday." Rav Papa says, "No, what the Mishnah means is if he's from one mishmar and one beit av, then notel chelik achad. Then he gets one portion because the man of shach is part of that mishmeret and part of that beit av." Tov, we have Baruch Hashem completed the 11th parak of Masechet Yevamot, and Amir Tzah Hashem in the next podcast will begin the 12th parak. Mitzvat Chalitza, and we will start looking at the mechanics and details of how Chalitza is performed. Everyone should have a wonderful day.